Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Beitza has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Friedman, Leila Nishmas, Menachem Ben Yosef, and Tzina Devorah Bas Yechiel.
Beya Daf Yud Dalet. In the Mishnah, we learned the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel concerning the methods one is allowed to use in order to grind salt and spices. And what comes out of the Divrei Mishnah is that according to Beis Hillel, you don't have to do any shinoi for tavlin, for spices, but you do have to do a shinoi katan for melach. The shinoi katan means that you use a madach shel eitz instead of a madach shel even. Masha'enke Beis Shammai hold that you have to do a greater shinoi for melach, and tavlin is what we allow you to do a shinoi katan for. The greater shinoi being bepachu ve'etz aparer, and it's only tavlin that they allow you to use the madach shel eitz, which Beis Hillel is matir for melach. The Gemara gives the hesber as to what could be the difference between tavlin and melach. Two possible hesberim the Gemara suggests. One is that melach, you knew before Yom Tov that you were going to have to use it. Masha'enkein tavlin, you didn't know necessarily before Yom Tov that you would have to use them, because Ein kol hakderis triches tavlin. And the other difference the Gemara suggests is that melach is something that doesn't get spoiled and it doesn't lose any of its tam if you leave it from before Yom Tov. So you could do the tchina, the grinding, before Yom Tov. Masha'en kein tavlin, if you were to do it before Yom Tov, you'll lose some of the tam by leaving it overnight. The Gemara then brings down the member of Rebbe Yehuda ben Shmuel, who says that even melach could be done kidarkai, and the Gemara explains that he's going like the Tana of the Braisa. The Tana of the Braisa brings down Shittas Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, according to this Tana, holds that you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov, even to melach, you're allowed to grind up melach kidarkai without any shinui. Now the first question that we have to ask is that why would it be mutter to grind up anything on Yom Tov? Because one of the most basic rules that govern what malachas you're allowed to do for the sake of Oichel Nefesh is the rule that's brought down by the Yerushalmi, Tosfos and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph brings down the Yerushalmi, that it's usur to do anything prior to Lisha. Yerushalmi is in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, and the Yerushalmi says, "Minayin she'ein boirin ve'ein toichin and ve'ein markidim." Talmud Lomer Acha she'yachal chol nefesh, and next to that it says, "Ushmartem es hamatzis." So by putting the din of Acha she'yachal chol nefesh, the heter of Ochel Nefesh, next to Ushmartem es hamatzis, which is something you accomplish through Lisha, so we learn from there that from Lisha ve'elach, those malachas are mutter. No malachas that appear before Lisha in the list of the Lamates malachas are mutter on Yom Tov. That's why a person is not allowed to do Ktsira, Tchina, he's not allowed to do all the malachas that precede Lisha. So since one of the malachas that precedes Lisha is Tchina, grinding, why would it be mutter to grind spices or melach on Yom Tov? So the Rishonim actually addressed this question in the beginning of Perek Ein Tzadin. Now it's important to point out that there is a big machlokes Rishonim whether those malachas that are before Lisha in the list of the Lamates malachas that we said that they're usser on Yom Tov, is that isser an isser d'oraisa or an isser d'rabbanan when you're doing it for Oichel Nefesh. The Rosh understands that all those malachas are only usser d'rabbanan. Even though the Yerushalmi brings a drasha, the Yerushalmi only means it as an asmachta ba'alma. Similarly, the Ran, who although he holds that the Yerushalmi meant it as a drasha gemura, nevertheless he holds that our gemara, the Bavli, disagrees with this, and according to the Bavli, these malachas would be usser only midrabbanan. The Rambam as well, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, Halacha Hey, holds that these malachas are asur midrabbanan. However, the sheet of the Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh is that these malachas are asur midoraisa. In any case, they all discuss why would it be mutter over here to do ketisha, to grind melach or tavlin on Yom Tov if tisha is part of the malachas toichen, which is one of those malachas that is before Lisha and is asur on Yom Tov. So the terts that the Rishonim give to this question is as follows. The fact that the malachas that are before Lisha are asur on Yom Tov needs a hesber. Why is it, if it's a din d'rabbanan, that the Rabbanan chose to be matter only the malachas milisha ve'elach? And if it's din d'oraisa, it also needs a hesber. Why would the Torah draw a distinction between these two types of malachas? Even if it's a gzeres hakasev, it needs to have a gedder. So the Rishonim say that the Torah asur on Yom Tov Meleches Avoida. That's the Lashon that the Torah uses when it describes the Isser on Yom Tov. What does Meleches Avoida mean? So they say that things that a person does so that he should have it L'yamim Rabim falls under the category of Meleches Avoida, as opposed to the Meleches that a person does only on a day-to-day basis. For example, Ktsira, a person isn't Koitzer, he doesn't harvest a small amount of wheat and then go and grind it up and turn it into dough and bake bread. He first harvests an entire crop, and then he does ma'amer to that whole crop. He does all the malachas, zoyre, bore, merakid, and even tchina. A person does not take wheat and grind up a little bit to go and make into bread. A person first grinds up a lot of wheat, and then, little by little, as time goes on, he takes his flour and makes dough out of it when he needs it. So Lisha is the first thing that relates directly to the person's oichel nefesh, as opposed to the malachas that a person does, liyamim rabim, that doesn't necessarily relate to today's oichel nefesh. The Magid Mishnah in Perek Aleph Hilchas Yom Tov, Halacha Hey, says a little bit of a different spin, and that is that maleches avoida is something that it's the derech for an eved to do for his master. There are some malachas that it's the derech for the person to do it himself, and other malachas that the person gives out to his avadim, or he hires people to do it. And he even gives a reason. He says, Lafisha huzharnu b'malachis elu, we were given the lav of these malachas, lizkar, to remember ki hayinu avadim, v'hayinu oisin malachis elu ladinenu. We once upon a time were avadim in Mitzrayim, and we have to remember that we used to do such malachas for our masters. But any malacha that it's the derech for roiv b'nei adam, most people, they do it for themselves in their house, we don't have any iser to do. Mimela, say the Rishonim, the Ran, the Ramban, the Rosh, the Melchames, and the Ra'ah, over there in Perek Ein Tzadin, that the malacha of Techina is usually when a person grinds a lot of wheat. That's something that's done liyamim rabim. Masha'en kein, when a person grinds up salt or tavlin, the person does it only for the meal that he needs it. They ask on this, then why is a person not allowed to pluck off a pre that's easy to pluck off a tree, like a strawberry? You're not allowed to go on Yom Tov, even though it's Eichel Nefesh, you're not allowed to go over to a strawberry bush and pull off a strawberry. Even though people don't necessarily harvest an entire crop, they take one at a time. So the Ra'ah answers this question by saying that in each malacha, you have to go after roiv of that malacha. So for example, Ktsira. The roiv of Ktsiras that are done, people do liyamim rabim. It happens to be that there's a miyut of people that go around plucking off individual peiros to eat them. But the vast majority of ktsiras that are done liyamim rabim, and therefore it is usser. Masha'en kein tchina, since there are many tchinas that are done just on a one-time basis, the malacha itself doesn't have an objective definition. And Chazal were mechalek between the times that you do it liyamim rabim and the times that you do it only for now. The Ran uses this theme, but he gives it to Tosefes Hesber. He says that by Tchina, since there are separate kelim that one uses, when a person does it liyamim rabim, he uses a mill, a rechayim. Masha'enkein, when a person does the Tchina that we're discussing, he uses a meducha, like we learn in our Mishnah. Since there's a difference in the kelim, Chazal weren't forced to aser all tchinas. Masha'enkein, ktsira, we don't find that there are separate kelim used for different types of ktsira. Now these svaras, both the svara of the Ra'ah, that we have to look at the general malacha and decide whether roiv pa'amim is done a certain way, or the svara of the Ran, that we look at the kelim that are used, seem to be svaras in the Rabbanans. You could say the Rabbanan made a loy plug. They said that when one kli is used, so there's loy plug, even though sometimes it's not done liyamim rabim. However, we already mentioned that the Rashba's shita in the Averis HaKodesh is that the malachas that are before Lisha are aser midairaisa. So how does he explain the fact that there's a difference between plucking a strawberry off a tree and grinding up salt and tavlin? Memonavshach. If there's a drasha d'iraisa that tells us that lisha ve'eloch, it's mutter only because it's not done liyamim rabim, but the things that are done liyamim rabim are usser, so then it should depend, each case, practically, is it liyamim rabim or not? So actually, in Avodas HaKodesh, he alludes to Teretz, which is found in the Milchames from the Ramban, over there in the beginning of Perek Ein Tzadin. And that is that Lisha, not only is it something that is done liyoim, it's not done liyamim rabim, but it's also done to things that are in your Rishus. And therefore, we see it as directly relating to your Oichel Nefesh. Masha'en Kain. Any Melacha that's done liyamim rabim is certainly not seen as part of your Oichel Nefesh. And even if it's done, not liyamim rabim, like taking something off of a tree to eat, since prior to you taking it off of the tree, it's not in your Rishus, it's not Tachas Yodcha, so the Melacha is seen as one step before your Oichel Nefesh. Melechas Oichel Nefesh, he says, is to be Mesaken that food that's already in your Rishus. To be koitzer, which means that you're going to now obtain the food and have a tachas rishus so that you can then go and make it part of your sudas yomtif, is already seen as a melechas avoide. It's more like the creation of oichel as opposed to tikkun oichel. So in summary, the reason why in our Mishnah we allow you to grind up salt and tavlin, although techina, grinding, is not one of the malachas that's mutter on Yom Tif, is because the gedder of that which you're not allowed to do the malachas before Lisha is because for various reasons they're not seen as malachas oichel nefesh, they're seen as malachas avoida. If it's done liyamim rabim, then that's the type of malacha that we see as being malachas avoida. It's not directly related to your oichel nefesh. Masha inkin, in our Mishnah, you're not doing the type of grinding that's liyamim rabim. To be mechalik between this svara and that which we find that you're not allowed to pluck a fruit off a tree. We mentioned three as Beirim. According to the Ra'ah, you have to look at Roiv Pa'amim of that Malacha. So if Roiv Pa'amim, it's done Liyamim Rabim, then we don't care that this particular case, you're not doing it Liyamim Rabim because there's a Loi Plug. According to the Ran, it's not because Roiv Pa'amim, rather it's because a separate Kli is used for this Tchina, as opposed to the Tchina that's done liyam rabim, you use a different kli. And the svar of the Ramban and the Rashba is that you always have to look at whether the thing is tachas yodcha or not. So things that are being plucked off a tree are still not tachas yodcha, they're not prashuscha, and therefore it involves more of what we call meleches avoida. Another question that needs to be addressed in our sugya is Akashan Shitas Rashi. Rashi in the beginning of Perek Ein Tzadin explains that the reason why you're not allowed to do tzeda on Yom Tif is because any malacha, even if it's for Oichel Nefesh, that you could have done before Yom Tif, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tif. And the question is that we learn in our sugya that melach is something that if you do it before Yom Tif, it's not going to get ruined. So why, according to Shitas Rashi, do we allow you to grind up melach on Yom Tif? The same shita appears in Tosfos in Megillah, Dav Zayin Mabez. Tosfos says that a person who is megabe, and he makes cheese on Yom Tif, he gets malchus. And Tosfos explains the reason is the vadei oichel nefesh hameskalkel imoiseu me'esmol. Definitely oichel nefesh that will get ruined if you do it the day before. Mutter lasayis b'Yom Tif. Aval oichel nefesh, the adif tfei, kishu osim me'esmol. Oichel nefesh, which is even better if you do it the day before, also last Tosfos b'Yom Tif, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tif. Now there is machlokes in Achronim what Tosfos means. According to the Marsha, Tosfos doesn't mean dafka if it's better when you make it before Yom Tif, then it's aser. Even if it would be the same, it's just not miskalkel if you do it the day before, it's also aser to do it on Yom Tif. The Pri Chodesh argues in this and holds that it's dafka if it's better. According to the Marsha, we have the same kasha that we asked in Shitas Rashi, because according to Marsha, Shitas Tosfos is that anything that will not be miskalkel if you do it the day before is usr, and you would get malchus if you do it on Yom Tif. And the fact that Tosfos says you get malchus is significant, because there are those that want to say, at least bedas Rashi, that although Rashi says you're not allowed to do the malachus that you could have done the day before on Yom Tif, Rashi only means an issa d'rabbanan. But from the fact that Tosfos says you would get malchus shows that there is an issa d'oraisa. Now theoretically we could say that the reason why Rashi and Tosfos hold that it will be mutter to do the ketisha to melach even on Yom Tif is because our Mishnah says that for melach, even according to Beis Hillel, you have to do a shinoi. And maybe this is enough of a shinoi to make it be considered kela'achar yad, and since it's kela'achar yad, it's not an issa d'oraisa. And the Rabbanan, who made the isser of doing malacha kela'achar yad, they didn't make their isser when it involves such a level of oichel nefesh. Of course, a person can't eat a kedera without putting melach in it. However, that would make sense according to the Tana of our Mishnah. But we know that the Tana of the Braisa holds that the Nidoichin Kedakin, you're allowed to do Melach, the Ketisha, you're allowed to do even in the way that you always do it. So you don't do any Shinui. And that's the way that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel paskins. And there's nobody that holds that by tilting it to the side, which is considered a shinoi, that would help to change it from a melacha d'oraisa to a kala'achayat. That's not called kala'achayat. That may be a shinoi when something is usr as a chumrah, when we want you to be mishana it from the usual way, then we say tilt it to its side. But tilting it is not something that helps to make something be kalachra yad if you're doing it in the normal way. So Nagois of Rabbeinu Peretz on the smack in Siman Kuf Tzarek Dalet, he says an interesting teretz. He says, V'shema yesh loymar, kiven the ikar atavlin l'sakein hatavshil. Since the primary function of this tavlin that you're grinding up is in order to be misakein, in order to properly prepare the tavshil, v'hatavshil ef shel asos me'erev yomtif, and the tavshil itself you couldn't make before yomtif, it would have gotten spoiled. Hilkach tavlin nami shari. He's saying that although it's true that melach does not spoil if you grind it before yomtif, and as such it should be usser to grind on yomtif, but since the purpose of your grinding the melech is for a tavshil, and that tavshil is something that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, so the grinding of the salt is seen as a chelek of the hachanas ha-tavshil. And says Rabbeinu Peretz that the Amiroim, the first Amiroim in our Gemara, that paskin, that you're not allowed to grind melach without a shinui, because melach is something that does not get spoiled if you did it before Yom Tov, they argue on this svara. Now, aside from the issue that revolves around whether you're allowed to do meleches echol nefesh that could have been done before Yom Tov on Yom Tov, there is an issue raised over here in our sugya by the Rishonim, which is somewhat related to the svara that we just mentioned from the Rabbeinu Peretz. And that is as follows. The Ran over here brings down B'shem D'Raivat that grinding up salt is considered machshirei echol nefesh. In Hilchas Eichel Nefesh, we find two categories. There's when you do something that is Eichel Nefesh Mamish, for example, cooking or shechting an animal, those are preparations of foods, and that's called Meleches Eichel Nefesh Mamish. Besides that, there's also a category called Machshire Eichel Nefesh, for example, somebody who sharpens a knife with which he's going to shecht an animal. Now, Machshire Eichel Nefesh is Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. This is brought down later in Daf Chav Ches Mem Beis. The Rabbanan say, Ein bein yom tov l'shabbos elo oichol nefesh bovad. And Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, Af machshire oichol nefesh is mutar on yom tov. The Gemara then goes and explains that even Rabbi Yehuda, who's matar machshire oichol nefesh, he's only matar machshire oichol nefesh, that it was ef shel asoysim me'erev yom tov. You could not have done it before yom tov. Machshire, that it's ef shel asoysim me'erev yom tov, it's not mutar. And that's because there are two psukim. There's one pasuk that says, Lochem, Lochem l'chol tzarchechem, you could even do machshirin. There's also another pasuk that says, Hu levada yasel lechem, only echol nefesh itself you're allowed to do, and that's memayit machshirin. So he uses the pasuk of Hu to be memayit something that you could have done me'erev yomtif. Now since even Rabbi Yehuda asers machshirin that you could have done me'erev yomtif, the Ran asks that over here, in the case of melach, since you could have done it me'erev yomtif, melach is considered machshire echol nefesh, because the purpose of grinding up the melach is in order to be able to put it into the dish that you cooked. So why would you be allowed to do this on Yom Tov? And from here he learns that even though machshirin, that it was possible to do me'erev Yom Tov, it's not mutter to do them on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, if you do it with a shinui, then it's mutter, because we find out in our sugya that you have to do some sort of shinui. And actually the Rashba Daf Chav Ches Mem Beis uses this svara to say that a knife that you could have sharpened on Erev Yom Tov, it's mutter to sharpen it using a shinui. However, the Ravid in the Hasagas, in Perek Dalet Ches Yom Tov Halacha Yud, asks that according to the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda, this won't help us. Because Enoch and Amir, Rabbi Yehuda is mater doing Machshire Echol Nefesh on Yom Tov, but the Rabbanan say that Hu Levade Yasel Lechem, you cannot do Machshire Echol Nefesh on Yom Tov. So why would a shinui help me? Answers the Ravid that the Chachamim were given the power to determine which machshirin you're allowed to do, and they said that there are machshirin that are like oichel atzmoy, meaning to say that since you deposit the tavlin or the melach into the tavshil itself, that's like preparing food. That's not called machshirin. So those are two svaras. Either it's mutter to do the grinding up of melach, although melach is considered machshirin, and although machshirin that you could have done before Yom Tov is not mutter, here it's mutter because you're doing it with the shinui, or it's mutter because the Rabbanan have the discretion to decide which machshirin are mutter, which machshirin are considered ka'oichel atzmai. Now the Ran over here in our sugya says that melach and tavlin is not called machshirin at all. Melach and tavlin are called food. And the reason he gives is because you're being nene migufay shel dover. Machshirin is usually something that you're not nene from. If you sharpen a knife, there's no hana that you end up having from the sharpening of the knife itself. You have hana from what you do with the knife. Masha'enkein melach, you are nenef from the melach. You eat the melach together with the rest of the tafshil. So the Ran's opinion is not that it's considered machshirin, it's just that it was left to the Rabbanan's discretion to determine which machshirin are mutter, like the Ravid says in the Hasogis. Rather, it's not considered machshirin. Melach and tavlan are considered oichel nefesh atzmoy. So we now have fundamental machloikis as to whether an ingredient that you don't consume by itself, you have to put it into another tafshil. Is that considered machshiri echol nefesh because its purpose is really to enable the eating, the consumption of something else? Or it's considered echol nefesh atzmoy because soif kol soif, it is consumed. It may not be consumed by itself, but since it's consumed as part of the tafshil, we consider that echol nefesh. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches also seems to consider tavlin machshirei ochel nefesh, because the Rambam says v'chein machshirei ochel nefesh sheyesh bem chesaronim nasumi ba'erev oisin oisam b'yomtiv kigoin shchikas tavlin chiyotz behen. The Gois Maimonides learns over there that he means that he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how the Goin in Siman Tov Kuf Tes learns as well. According to that, you would have to say that the reason why salt, which is not Mefigin Taimon, is Mutter is only because it's a Shinri, like the Svar of the Ravi that we mentioned. Take a look at the Avni Nezer in Ur Chaim Siman Tov Tes for further discussion in Shita Sarambam. As we mentioned earlier, there is Machloikes Rav Huna and Rav Chizta, how to be Masber, the Chilik that our Tana makes between Melach and Tavlin. One hesber that's given is that a person doesn't know from before Yom Tif that he's going to need Tavlin, but he does know that he's going to need Melach. Therefore, Melach, there's no excuse, he should have done it before Yom Tif. Tavlin, he didn't know, so therefore there's no tain on him that he didn't do before Yom Tif. And the other time that's given is that Tavlin is Mefigin Tamun. They get worse, and therefore you couldn't have done it before Yom Tif. It would have lost some of its tam. Asha'enkein Melach, nothing happens to it if you leave it over. And the Gemara explains two nafkaminas between these two explanations. Number one, if the person knew Erev Yom Tif what type of kedera he was going to be cooking. So if you go with the tam, that the reason why tavlin is treated differently, we're more makel by tavlin, is because he didn't know. So then over here you do know. Mashenkin, if it's because mefigin taimon, so then it's still mefigin taimon. Inami b'mayrika, marika is an afkamina in the opposite direction. That's something that is not mefigin taimon. So if the person did not know exactly which kedera he was going to cook, so then he has the excuse that he didn't have to do it from before Yom Tov. But that's only according to the first Lashon. So you wouldn't have to do a Shinui if you hold like the first Lashon. Masha Ein Kein. If you hold like the second Lashon, that it all has to do with what's Mefigin Taman. Since this is something that's not Mefigin Taman, you would have to do a Shinui. So what would we do, lahalacha, if a person was confronted with either one of these two scenarios? A person had Moirika, which according to one Lashon, you need to do a Shinui, the other Lashon, you don't need to do a Shinui, or if the person had a Kedera that he knew what he was going to cook, according to the first Lashon, you have to do a Shinui, and according to the second Lashon, you don't have to do a Shinui. What would we tell the person to do? Do we tell him do a Shinui in either one of these cases or not? So Tosfos says in Dibur HaMaskil Ike Beinayu that the Ripaskin Sheyesh Lesser Bechol Inyan, that in either of these two cases we would aser and tell a person that he has to do a Shinoi. Ask Tosfos, what do you mean? Usually we say that Bishol Soifrim Halech Achar Amekel, Sofik Darbana Lekula. Tosfos says, even so, we would Paskin over here Lechumra. And that is Hoyel Ulechol Echa Ve'echod Yesh Kula Vechumra Mikol Tzad Avdinan Lechumra. Since each one of these timem has a kula and a chumra, so we cannot objectively say that either one of the two taimim is the more makel tam. Because the man d'amar whose toilet on whether you knew or didn't know has a chumra, the hainu, in a case where you knew what you were going to cook, and he also has a kula, which is in the case of Mayrika. And the other man d'amar is machmer the case of Mayrika, because Mayrika is not mefigin tamon, but he's also makel in a case where you knew which kedera you're going to be cooking. So he says that since there's no way to define either one of these two shitas as objectively a mekel d'kashita, we have to be machmir like the chumra of both of them. Because the rule is, b'shal seifim halich achar mekel, you have to take the shita that is more mekel, even though there is a klal of safek d'rabbanan l'kula, we can't be mekel in both cases because that would be a tarti d'sasri. And this is similar to what the Rishonim say and Daf Kuf Ches in Psachim by Heseba. There's a machloikis over there. One man d'yomer says that the first two kaisis require Heseba, and the other man d'yomer says the last two kaisis of the Arba kaisis require Heseba. Now, since we can't be makel like the kula of either shita, because neither one is more makel than the other, We pass, can you do a seva by all four? Why don't we say Sofik Drabbanan Lekula? It's true that you can't go Achar HaMekel because we don't know which one is more Mekel. Neither of them over there are more Mekel than the other. But the principle of Sofik Drabbanan Lekula says be Mekel when it comes to a Sofik. So why don't we take the Kula of both Shitas? That's also an impossibility because then you would end up not doing a seva at all. And that for sure nobody holds up. So over here also, if you would apply the principle of Sofik Drabbanan Lekula, we would end up taking the Kula of both Shitas, and that is an impossibility. However, in the Chedushei Kiveiger, in Erev and Daf Lamed Chesamid Aleph, he says b'shem the Beis Meir, like the first step in our argument, namely, that you cannot say b'shal soifrim halech achar hamekel, because we can't identify which shita is the more shita lekula, because he explains that the din of halech achar hamekel means as if we're machriya, like one shita. We go after the shita that's more mekel. And here we don't know which shita is more mekel. But as far as the second step, why we don't apply the principle of Safik Darbana Lekula, he says that's because it's a Davar Sheyesh Le Matirin. And Davar Sheyesh Matirin, you can't be mekel. It's a Davar Sheyesh Matirin because after Yom Tif, it's going to be Mutter. So this is all Lefi, the Psak of our Mishnah, that there's a difference between Melach and Tavlin. So we're discussing the shitas that come to explain why there's a difference between Melech and Tavlin. However, it continues Tosfos, and they say that for us there's no nafkamina from this whole discussion, because we paskin like Shmuel, who says, Kol ani doichin, nidoichin kedarkan. So it makes absolutely no difference. Even if it's something that doesn't lose its tam, and even if it's something that you knew from before, it's mutter to use a meducha shel evan. However, the Marsha asks that that's not true. Even according to Shmuel, there's an afkamina between Melech and Tavlin, because Melech needs a small shinoi, which is that you have to tilt it over. Masha ein kein Tavlin, you don't even have to do that. So you still need to have the shitas of Rav Huna and Rav Chista to explain what the difference between Melech and Tavlin is, and it should come out in afkamina le'inyin, whether you have to tilt over the kli when you're doing the grinding. That's the Marsha's kasha on Tosfos. Why does Tosfos say that for us there's no afkamina, whether you go like Rav Huna or Rav Chista, concerning what the difference between Melech and Tavlin is? There is an afkamina. Even if you're allowed to use for Melech the Meducha Shel Evan, you still have to tilt it, and therefore you have to know what the difference is. Now, this question could be found as well in the Rishonim, because the Rishonim ask Akasha on the Rif. The Rif does not bring down neither the Tam of Rav Huna or the Tam of Rav Chisda. And it's assumed by the Rishonim that the reason is because he passes like Shmuel. And they ask, well, you still should have to bring the Taimim of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda to explain why there's a difference between Melech and Tavlin, Ligabe having to tilt it over. And that's an Afkamina by Mayrika, or something that you knew what you're going to cook. So the Ramban in the Mechamis says that the Taimim of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda were only Taimim that were given to explain the Tan of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Bechalik between Melech and Tavlin, Le'inyin, what type of Meducha you're allowed to use. But Shmuel, who passes like the Tan of the Braisa, and he says that you're allowed to use Shel Evan by Melech as well, he would hold that Tavlin, it would make no difference if you knew about it the day before, if it wasn't Mefigin Taman, he would always be Matir grinding up Tavlin no matter what. You wouldn't have to tilt it over. Even though we tell you that you have to tilt over the kli when you're grinding up melach. What's the difference? He says the difference is that since really me ikar adin, you're allowed to do it kedarkai, and you don't have to do any shinui whatsoever. It was only by melach, which you're not going to lose out by tilting it over, because when you grind it up in that manner, it gets ground up the proper way, since he says melech is very easy to grind up. Masha'en kein tavlin, if you tilt it over, it may not get ground up as well as if you would not tilt it over. And since this whole thing is an extra chumrah, because mi'ikar adin, you're allowed to be n'doichin kedarkan, so we didn't require the person to tilt it over. So therefore it makes no difference whether you hold like Rav Huna, you hold like Rav Chisda, because nobody would be mechayev you by tavlin to tilt over the kli. And the Ran says that you could prove from our Gemara, like the Ramban, that the din to tilt over the kli is not me'ikar adin, because the Gemara says that Rav Sheshes, when he heard the noise of somebody grinding up, he said, "Hai lav migavei de beisoy. This is not from my house." Now, he would have used a much stronger lushin. He would have used the lushin of Isser. Instead, he used the lushin, which was mashba, that in his house, he was machmir to make sure that you grind it with tilting over the kli. And like the Gemara says, he was able to tell from the noise that the kli was not tilted over. The Mishnah says, "Haboyer kitnius biyomtiv beis hillel omrim boyer kedarkai." Somebody who's being boyer, separating kitnius, he's allowed to separate the bad from the good kedarkai, the way that he does it during the week. So we see that there's a Mishnah before Reshes that you're allowed to do Bor Psoilus Mitoicha Oichel on Yom Tif. And as the Gemara explains, we're talking about a case where there's less tircha to take the psoilus than to take away the oichel. If there's more tircha to take out the oichel, then you have to do it that way. However, in the Gemara later, on Daf Chav Tesma Beis, the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kamei de Ravina. Ravina was told over a braisa in which it says that if a tzuror, a pebble, or a kisem, a splinter, falls into kemach, b'yer b'yodai. Instead of using the sieve, you should take it out with your hand. And Ravina said, Kolshkin, the Asr, you can't do it that way. The Havalei Kibayr. So you see from that Gemara that Bayr would be Asr on Yom Tif. So there seems to be a stira between what we learn in our sugya and what it says over there. Now the Rambam and the Rif, the Rosh, none of them bring down that Gemara. Now the Beis Yosef in Simon Tavkov Vov, he explains that Ravina actually doesn't hold that it's Asr Mishum Borer. He was just saying that according to the Tana over there that says that you're not allowed to use a sieve, so he says that using your hand is even worse. As Rashi explains over there, that when you use a sieve, it doesn't look like you're doing any Borer because everything goes through. You don't notice the little pebble that stays inside. Mashenkin, if the person takes it out with his hand, then it's apparent that he's doing Borer. But Ravina himself doesn't hold that there's an Isser Borer at all. It's not like we paskin based on Ravina's memra that there is an Isser Borer. Ravina was responding to what was Mavura in that Braisa. And that's how the Daki Moshe over there in Sifkat and Aleph learns. And then it would come out that Borer is Mutter on Yom Tif, like the Pashtas of our Mishnah. However, the Beis Yosef over there writes that it's possible that it would be Asr. And the Rama as well brings down that the Mag Mishnah says that the Ravid holds that it would be Asr to take out a pebble on Yom Tif because he's Choshish for the Sugya and Daf Chav Tes. The Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Yud Beis over there brings from the Pri Chodesh that Nochein Linoy Kein, you should be Noyig that way. And we actually see La Halacha that there are Kama Poiskim that hold that way. The Magen Avram in Simtav Kuf Dalet, Sifkat and Tes, the Elio Rabba in Simtav Kuf Yud, Sifkat and Beis, they all say that you're not allowed to take small pieces of matzah from matzah meal. So obviously they hold that there is a Boyer problem on Yom Tif. Now if there indeed is a Boyer problem on Yom Tif, then we have to explain why in our Sugya does Beis Hillel say that you're allowed to. What's the difference between being Boyer Kitnius and taking out a Tzror from some flour? So from the Chaye Adam, in Klal Pei Beis, it's mashma, that really, on a Dairaisa level, Bur is mutter. It's one of the malachas that's mutter on Yom Tif, and it's only a Drabbanan that tells us that you're not allowed to be Bur Kidarka. You're not allowed to be Bur the way that you usually do it in the weekdays. So says the Chayadam, taking a tsroir, a pebble, out of flour is the way that a person would do Breira in the weekdays, and therefore it's Aser. Masha Enkein, the Kanoin and the Tamchui that were matir, and our Mishnah is not the Derech that you do it the rest of the week. The problem with this mahalach is that in Shulchan Aruch it's Gepaskin, Simen Tov Kuf Yud, Siv Dalid, that you're allowed to be in Misanein, to strain wine from its shmarim, from the dregs, from the psoilus that's inside the yayin, even though that's the way that it's done during the week. I'll call upon him, that's mahalach number one. That's the Chaye Adam's way of resolving the stira. Number two is the Shulchan Aruch Harav. This is also in Tim Tov Kovav in the Kuntras Achrin, Sivkat and Aleph. And he's mechalik between the type of boirer that its derech is to do lizman merube, liyamim rabim, that type of boirer is usr, and the type of boirer that's only liyamai, that's done for immediate use. And this is very reminiscent of the svar that we mentioned earlier, legabe meleches toichen. We explained that on Yom Tov, it's only mutter to do meleches milisha ve'eloch. And the Rishonim explained that the Hezber, in that chilik, the malachas that are prior to Lisha, are malachas that the derech is to do them liyamim rabim, like a whole crop of tvua, a person's koitzer. A person does all of the malachas, like ma'amer, and dosh, and zoira, merakit, all the malachas that precede Lisha are, generally speaking, done to large amounts of oichel, not necessarily the oichel that you want to eat today. Masha'en kein Lisha is something that you do on a day-to-day basis. Similarly, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that when you're doing Boirer, that its derech is as a chelik of your achila, like the Breiris Kitnius that's described in our Sugya, then it's mutter. Masha'en kein, the derech is to do Boirer by Kemach for Zman Merubah. Now the obvious question is, as the Bir Halacha asks in Siman Tavkuf Dalet, that taking a tzror, a pebble, out of kemach is something it's a derech to do for today, not for lizman merubah. But the answer is, and this is what the Birkas Yom Tif says, Amud Nun Gimel Dimer Masach Uliyashev. He says that it's usur because you go after the min. The min of Kemach is one of those minim that it's the derech to be boirer them l'zman meruba. Because generally speaking, you use a sieve to be boirer your Kemach for a zman meruba, so you'll have it later and not necessarily a part of your oichel nefesh of today. So that's the second mahalach, how to understand the stira between the two places, between our sugya and the sugya daf chav tes. The Machzah Shekel in Simen Tov Kuf Dalet, Sivkat and Tes, says a third mahalach. He says that there are two different types of boirer. There's boirer lifnei lisha and boirer la'acher lisha. Boirer is only mutter when it is after lisha, because all malachas are only mutter melisha ve'elach. And therefore he says that when you're boirer kemach, Kemach is by definition before lisha, before you knead it and make it into dough. Masha'enkein, the brera of kitnius, is not doima to brera that's prior to lisha. It's actually immediately preceding your achila. And it's mashma from the way that he explains it, that he understands that it all depends on whether you have to do another tikkun after your brera or not. If you need to do lisha and bishul after your brera, then it's usur because it's too far from the tikkun ha'oichel. Masha'en came by kitnius, it immediately precedes your achila, and therefore it's not usur. Now there would be quite a few nafgaminas between these various pshatim. L'mashal, would it be mutter to remove a fly from your soup or from a drink, a glass of wine? Or if you find an eggshell in your egg salad, are you allowed to remove that on Yom Tif? Now, according to the Chayei Adam, it would be usur because you're doing it the way that a person usually does it during the week. However, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, nobody ever does that type of thing, liyamim rabim. And since we explained that you go after the min, so when you're removing a tsrar from kemach is the min that it's the derech to do breira, liyamim rabim. Asha'en kain, removal of a fly from your drink is not the type of breira that a person does, liyamim rabim at all. Similarly, would it be mutter to use a peeler on Yom Tif, assuming that you're not allowed to be mishtamish with it on Shabbos? Could you use it on Yom Tif? So according to the Chayei Adam, it should be usur because that's the way that you usually use it during the week. Masha'enken, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's definitely not the way that you do something lizman aruch, lizman meruba, and according to Machzah Shekel, it also should be mutter because it is close enough to the tikkun of your oichel. Shlomo Zalman actually brought down in the Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasa, Perik Dalet Ha'aruch of Zion, says that it's mutter to use a peeler on Yom Tif, as does Ibn Zekarelitz and Chutshani in Amud Kuf Chavav. There are those that hold that it's Aser, but more because of Uvda Dechoyl. The Gemara brings a braisa that says, Tanya Amar Rav Gamliel, B'med Var Mamurim Kisha Oichel Meruba Ala Psoilus. Ava Psoilus Meruba Ala Oichel Dever Akol Noitel Asa Oichel Meneches Apsoilus. And as we see in the Maskana of the Gemara, as long as there's more tircha involved in taking the oichel from the psoilus, you should take the psoilus from the oichel. Reb Kiveger asks Akasha, and this is in the Tosfos Reb Kiveger on the Mishnayos. He says, how is it mutter to take the psoilus away from the oichel? The psoilus has a din of muktzah, so you're being over on tilto muktzah. And it's very hard to imagine that we're only talking about a case where the psoilus happens to be roi for Michael Behema. Therefore, says Reb Kiveger, that from here you see a raya to the Yisoid, that Tosfos says earlier, in Daf Chesamid Aleph, in the Ramaschil Amrav Yehuda, Tosfos there says that you're allowed to take the Efer of Akira, which is Muktzah, in order to use it for Afiyah. And the reason is because even the Isser of Muktzah is Mutter when it's Negeya Oichol Nefesh. Therefore, over here as well, we can say that since the person needs to eat the kidneys, so being metaltal muktzah is not a problem because that's all part of the heter v'echol nefesh. Not only do they allow you to do malachos that produce echol nefesh, they even were matir, the tiltal of muktzah, when it enables a person to eat. The Rishash asks on Reb Kiveger, he says that there's a beferish toisfis in Shabbos, daf kuf mem beiz me beiz, in dibur ha-maschil sha'oichel. And Tosfos explains that the reason why you're allowed to move the psoilus is because it's batal b'roiv oichel. There's din bitl b'roiv. And since it's batal b'roiv, it's not considered muktzah. He says, I don't understand how Reb Kiveger missed this Tosfos. The answer, obviously, is Reb Kiveger is really bringing his raya to the Yisoid, that tiltal muktzah is mutter by oichel nefesh, not from Tosfos' shita, but from Rashi's shita. And the other Rishonim, who explained the Gemara in Shabbos, not like Tosfos. They learned that the whole din of oichel meruba ala psoilus, that your metalto, the psoilus, is all built on the yisoid of tircha. Since there's more oichel than psoilus, it's simply more tircha to move the oichel, and therefore we tell you to move the psoilus. So it's not because the psoilus becomes batal to the Rav Oichel, rather because there's more tircha involved. And Kiveger and Nechdushim over there in Shabbos adds that from Tosfos you see that if it would not be batel, if the psoilus would not be batel to the oichel, we wouldn't be matir the tiltal of the psoilus for oichel nefesh, because Tosfos has to resort to the din of bittel. But from Rashi Shita you see that it's possible to be metaltal even without the din of bittel, and that, as Rukiwegri explains, is because of the yisoid of Tosfos and Afches, that you're allowed to be metaltal mukta litzorich oichel nefesh. And of course, there's an afkamina between Rashi and Tosfos, and that is what happens if the psoilus and the oichel are equal. And this is actually discussed by the Taz in Simtov Kuf Yud Sivkot and Beis, and he says that you could be boyer eza sheyirtze. L'chayre, this is tali on the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, because according to Tosfos, that the heter to move the psoilus is because it's bottle to the oichel. Well, if they're equal, then you don't have the bittel. Masha'enkein, according to Rashi, there's a heter to be metalto mukta litzorich oichel nefesh. Even though one can wonder that we know that there's a rule in mukta that whenever you have the option of accomplishing something, shaloyai de tilto mukta, you can be metalto heter, so we should really ask you to do that. In which case, we could ask in the Taz Memanavshach. If you hold like Shittas HaToisfis, then you need to have roiv heter keneged the mukta. And if you hold like Shittas Rashi, you don't need Roiv, but why should you be allowed to be metaltal mukta when you have the option of being metaltal something that's not mukta? So we can answer both of these questions according to the Yisoid of the Chazanish. The Chazanish learns, even Bidasa Toisfis, that Toisfis does not mean regular bittal beroiv like it seems. And the truth is that it's very logical that this does not depend on regular bittel beroiv, because we know that there's a rule in bittel beroiv that if the iser is nicker, then you don't say bittel beroiv. And over here, you can identify the pieces that are psoilus. After all, you're moving them out. So what do we mean when we say that the psoilus is bittel al yudei the heter? Says the Chazon Ish, that if you look at Tosfos over there in Shabbos, you see that even when you have an oven on top of a chavis, it's on top of a barrel, there's no taruvis there, and yet Tosfos also seems to say that it's bottle to the chavis. So we're not dealing with taruvis at all. What we are dealing with is the aside that if oichel is mu'ukiv al yedei mukta, if you can't get to the oichel without being the tautal mukta, and you want to get rid of the mukta in order to take the oichel, that is not considered a maisa of tiltal mukta, rather it's considered a maisa of tikkun oichel. And in such a case, Chazal were not misakin the isra of tiltal mukta. And that's actually very much mashma in the Chedushi Ra'ah over here, because the Ra'ah says that when the psoilus is meruba la'oichel, when you have more psoilus than oichel, the reason why you're not allowed to move the psoilus, says the Ra'ah, is because then the psoilus is like an ikker. It's like it has its own identity, and it's no longer mutter to be metaltal. When something is considered a chelik of your oichel, then you're allowed to be metaltal it, because we don't identify it as its own mitzias. And therefore, its tiltal is considered part of the tikkun oichel. A person who peels a banana to eat the banana, we don't look at it as if he's being metaltal the peel. It's part of his tiltal of the banana. So now we can understand the Taz, that kolzman you don't have the psoilus being meruba la'oichel, the psoilus doesn't get its own identity. We still see it as being a cheluk of your oichel. And we no longer have to ask on Rashi that how could you be metaltal the psoilus when you have the option of being metaltal the heter? According to Rabbi Kiveiger's understanding, then it's a yisod you're allowed to be metalto mukta in order to facilitate oichel nefesh. But according to the Chazon Ish, it's not a heter of tilto mukta. Rather, this is not considered tilto mukta at all. And it's just that Rashi holds that the yisod that the Chazon Ish says is true, provided that there's no more tircha when you're moving the psoilus. Because if moving the psoilus entails more tircha than moving the oichel, then we cannot view the tiltal of the psoilus as a mere tikkun oichel. But if everything would be equal, like in the Taz's case, then it shouldn't bother us that it says that you could move whichever one you want, because that's only problematic if we view this as tiltal mukta with a heter. According to Rukveger, it's tiltal mukta with a heter. According to the Chazon Ish, it's not tiltal mukta at all. As soon as we can identify it as tikkun oichel, you're not doing the act of tiltal mukta. So it comes out that according to Rukveger, the yisoid of Tosfos is a real yisoid of bittel beroiv. And so when it's oichel, meruba la psoilus, we look at the psoilus as being bottle to the oichel, and it doesn't have a din of psoilus. And according to Rashi, Lefir Kiveger, the reason why you're allowed to be metal to the psoilus when it's oichel meruba la psoilus is not because of the din bittel beroiv, but rather because you're allowed to be metal to mukta litzoyrich oichel nefesh. Lefir the chazanish, it's not because the psoilus is bottle with the din of bittel beroiv to roiv oichel, rather the fact that there's roiv oichel is kiver, the oichel as the ikker, and therefore we look at your tiltal of the psoilus as being tikkun oichel as opposed to tiltal mukta. And according to the way we're explaining, that is something that could be even said when they're equal, and the Chazanish's Hesber can even be understood bidas Rashi. It's just that according to Rashi, the main determining factor to decide if something is considered be'ikr oichel and what you're doing is a tikkun of oichel is how much tircha is involved. Because the moment there's less tircha in the tiltal of the psoilus, then we already see what you're doing as tikkun oichel. Mashenkin, if there'll be more tircha involved in the tiltal of the psoilus, then we can't see it objectively as an act of tikkun oichel, and therefore it's usser. The Mishnah says, "Beishamay oimrim ein mishalchem biyomtiv elamonis." You're not allowed to send on yomtiv regular gifts. You're only allowed to send prepared foods. "Beishilal oimrim mishalchem behema chaya va'oif bein chayin bein shchutin." You're also allowed to send yenoi shmonim besaltoi svikitnis. Avo loy tvua. You're not allowed to send tvua and Reb Shimon matir betvua. Now, in explanation of Shitas Beishamai, there's a machlokes in the Rishonim. The Meiri says the reason why you're not allowed to send behema oifis that are chayim, that are not yet shchutin, is because we're worried that perhaps the person won't shecht it on Yom Tif. And then it turns out that you were toireach shaloy letzoirich. The Ra'ah, though, says that the reason why you're not allowed to send foods that are not yet prepared, like behema chaya v'oif, that are chayim, is because it looks like the person is sending it l'tzorich machar. Since we don't know if the person uses it today, so we then have a chashash to maybe use l'tzorich machar, and you're only allowed to send foods that there's a chacha that it's l'tzorich hayoim. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos says that the reason why it's us is shleyase kederech shu oisa b'choil. On Yom Tov, it's the derech to send things to eat, to prepared foods. But to stam send animals is uvda d'choil. It's not considered something that we see within the spirit of Yom Tov. Rashi's lashon in the Mishnah, elamonois, is davra muchan. You have to send only things that are prepared. Ve'enoi osui l'hanichei l'machar. It's not the derech to leave it for the next day. Kigoyin chatich is basar, chatuch is v'teha archim. It's not clear if he means like the ra'ah, that it looks like you're sending it l'tzarech machar when it's not prepared foods. And that's why he says prepared foods have the maila that it's not osil hanicha l'machar, therefore it doesn't appear like you're sending it to him l'tzarech machar. Or he means like the Meiri, that since it's enoi osil hanicha l'machar, we're not choshish that that's going to happen, and then it'll turn out that he was toireach shaloi l'tzarech. The poskim bring a raya from the lashon of our Mishnah, ela monos, that dafka adavar hamuchen is called monos. And therefore, legabe the din of mishloach monos. On Purim, you have to send prepared foods, and you can't send a live animal or bird that requires shechita. Now, according to all of the timim that we mentioned, whether you go with the tam of the Meiri, that the problem with sending behema chayev oif lefi beishamei is because maybe he won't shecht it on Yom Tif, and it turns out that it was toireach shloi letzorich. Or like the Ra'ah, that when you send him something that needs preparation, it appears, it looks like you're sending it l'tzarech machar. Or even according to the Rambam, that it's because it is not within the spirit of Yom Tif, it should make no difference whether you're sending it derech rishus harabim, which involves the meleches ha'itzah, or you send it through a rishus ha'yachid. It makes no difference. However, the Taz, in Sim Tav Kuv Taz Zayin, Sifkat and Aleph, says that the Isser, according to Beis Hillel, obviously, since we pass like Beis Hillel, there's no iser to send behema chayev oif that's alive, but Beis Hillel does say you're not allowed to send tvua. And the Taz says that the iser to send tvua would only be derech rishus harabim because of the iser haitzah. But if you were not sending it derech rishus harabim, then it's mutter to send it. Because after all, chitim that require techina and the process in order to make them roi for flour is not aser betiltel, it's not muktzah, because you could do ksisa, you could chew it. So the whole problem is really only because of haitzah. However, the achrayim, the chayadam, and the svasemes, they ask on the Taz, why should this be true? According to the Rambam, that everything that's aser in our Mishnah is because of maisa choyl, because of uvda de choyl. It makes no difference if you're doing it derech sarabim or not. And so too, according to the time of the Meiri. It all has to do with tircha, whether you're tarech shloi letzorich, in the time of the ra'ah. All has to do with whether it appears like you're doing it l'tzarech macher. This all shouldn't make a difference if the person sends it derech a rabbim or not. And it doesn't seem like there's any difference between the Isser according to Beis Shammai by live animals and the Isser according to Beis Hillel by Tvua. Because like Rashi says, Avaloyas at Tvua Shein Ru'uya Hayyim, Shein Toichnim B'yomtiv, you don't do Tchin on Yomtiv. Reb Shimon's matters because maybe you'll be Mevashal in the Kedera, which is not a normal way to prepare Chitim. As far as who we paskin like, so the Rambam actually passed like the Tanakama that you're not allowed to send Tvua on Yomtiv like the Shita of Beis Hillel as it's brought in our Mishnah. The Rif, however, paskins like Reb Shimon, because he brings the Braisa that explains Shitas Reb Shimon in the Gemara. So because he brings that Braisa, the Ra and the Rosh both say that the Rif must be paskining like Reb Shimon. They asked, why would he pass like Reb Shimon when we have the Shita of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah? Says the Drisha a very interesting thing. He says that the Rif understood that Reb Shimon was not coming to argue on the Tanakama, rather he's coming to explain the Tanakama's Shita. That even though the Tanakama said Bedas Beis Hillel, that you're not allowed to send Tvua, he came to explain that the Tanakama doesn't mean the type of Tvua that it's not Ro'oi on Yom Tif. If it's possible to take the Tvua that you send and use that Tvua on Yom Tif, as Reb Shimon explains in the Braisa, then it's Mutter. And he says that's why it doesn't say the Lashon in the Mishnah of Reb Shimon Matir, which sounds like he's being Matir that which the Tanakama was Oyser. Rather, he says Reb Shimon Matir b'Tvua, and he's alluding to the type of Tvua that he describes in the Braisa that it's possible to use on Yom Tif.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.